Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cutting Edge Show, hosted by me, John Williams. I am co-hosting and am currently sitting alone for right now, Justin Jackson. Get prepared to buckle up and take on a ride with your boy tonight. Today, we're going to be discussing conducting good business professionally. I thought this was an intriguing topic to, bring up, especially right now, with things that are going on in America with the bounce back of the economy worldwide, but most presently here in the United States. And a lot of people don't realize economically that during a recession, it's not necessarily always a bad thing. You know, a recession can be very good. A lot of first-time millionaires come out of recessions. A lot of first-time billionaires come out of a recession. There's a lot of money to be made, a lot of business to be conducted. But I say all that to say this. This evening I was talking to an individual about conducting, business. This person had bought some rental property and they're looking to fix it up and they're trying to get a handyman, it was like a contractor, but not put them on a contract. And I was like, yeah, just make sure you outline what needs to be done on paper and make sure they sign it. This way, if anything bad was to happen, you will be able to, protect yourself in court. And this person was like, no. I'm not going to do all that. I don't need this. I don't need that, And in my mindset, it was just common sense. It wasn't nothing extra. Just type out, what needed to be done, the price you're going to be paying it at, expectations, and give all responsibility, to any injury that might happen, to the person that's working on a property. So that way, if, this person was to fall and break their back, you're not paying them, for the rest of their lives for, a minuscule project. And this person went on, was like, no, I don't want to have to do all this. And it led me to think, why come we just can't be professional about it? Back in the day, and this is something I have noticed not only, with this individual, but I have noticed myself. I have noticed other Black people in general. Throughout my life, be a little bit more hesitant to be more professional in those matters. Not saying that there aren't Black people who do it, but one of the things that I have noticed is just when someone says, we're going to write it down on paper and sign it, that makes it real, right? White people are notorious, sign this paper so I can, if anything bad happens, I got this proof in court. And then they also, are notorious for, breaking the contracts and agreements. Even though you come to an agreement, look at Trump. He had plenty of people do things for him and never paid them, right? But I think it is, important to practice best practice. So for all the listeners out there, feel free to press 1-516-531-9540, press 1. If you have a question, comment, that you'd like to contribute to today's topics. Some of the things that I want to go out there to our callers that's going on is, tell me some things that you are excited to accomplish in 2021. What are some of your goals and how do you plan on conducting this business professionally? Are you going to, write contracts? Are you getting your LLC? Are you getting you're dotting your I's and crossing your T's to make sure you're protecting your backside? Because that's what we need to do. We already getting shot out in the street. So, and when we go in a courtroom, we got to be prepared. As a white person go into a courtroom, it's much easier for them to, ask about the benefit of the doubt, or what really happened. When a Black person go into court, it's like, we really don't care. You're guilty until you're proven innocent. So we definitely want to, and that's in all things. So we definitely always want to make sure we're dotting our I's and crossing our T's when we are conducting business. Do anyone out there have any business ventures that they're looking to do, they're looking to pursue, or that they are already doing or accomplishing? Definitely we'd like to hear from you. And just talking about, good, bad, the you know, the pros, the cons, the beautiful, the ugly, you know, of being able to conduct a business professionally. And I say professionally, we're not talking about, oh, you got to be like the white people. No. What I'm saying is dotting your I's and crossing your T's, you know, making sure you got one door open before you shut another one. You know, make sure you're not burning any bridges. Make sure you're protecting yourself, both legally, financially, emotionally, and spiritually, right? These are all things that provide good growth in the Black community. Once again, that number 516-531-9540, press 1. Love to get, you know, your questions and comments, you know, moving forward. Michonne is supposed to be, you know, join us here shortly. She will be, you know, calling in and being able to contribute a little bit more to this conversation as well. I know she had reached out to me, said that she's going to be a little bit behind and to go ahead and kick it off without her, but she will make sure that she's making a, not a surprise visit, but, you know, her grand finale, right, coming in, right, for the week. So, once again, that number is 516-531-9540. Press 1 if you have any questions or comments. We got a call at 5240-5240. We got you live on the air. Do you have a question, comment?
Oh, yes. I want to... I've been studying about the crypto, you know, the crypto. Have you heard of the crypto currency? Okay, you know, that some of the football players, you know, getting drafted and they transferring a lot of their money to the crypto. And I just want to know, maybe not today's topic, but maybe we can jump into that topic one day and, you know, discuss really what's going on. Because some people say, you know, you get more dividends back than the average. So I'm just still trying to learn more about the cryptocurrency and, you know, what's going on. Because people talk like, you know, you get your money back a lot faster with crypto than you do the other way of investing your money. You know, it takes time and then you can lose it, but with crypto, it's more secure, it's more money, you're going to get back a lot faster. So I'm still doing my investigation, Jackson. And then, not today, but I need you to do your investigation on another time. And we'll come together.
I've done some investigation on this already. I can shed some light a little bit on this, you know?
Yeah, we'll go and do that, brother.
Okay. So when it comes to the crypto, right, crypto could be great. Crypto could be bad. Right? There's a lot of different forms of crypto that is popping up every single day. Now, let's be real about it. Crypto is fake money, okay? You're giving real money to get fake money. That's how Bitcoin and all this stuff started. And that fake money was used to be used in order to be a currency on the black market. That's how cryptocurrency really started to kick off, right? Now, that technology has evolved into the capacity that it is, realistically, what a lot of governments around the world, even here in the United States, are talking about is actually doing away with actual physical currency because so much stuff is now being digitalized. You can pay for stuff through your phone. Everybody got debit cards and credit cards. People are getting Cash Apps and Venmo and things of that nature. And what that does is you can produce more money that way, and you don't have to actually use any resources. You don't actually have to, you know, strike a coin, is what they used to say back in the day, or print any more paper off. And they're going to be pushing all of that to the crypto. Now, when you talk about, like, things like Bitcoin, when you say you get, like, you know, a return back faster and more,
a return back.
Right. All that is gambling, right? And the way that it is looked at is if you look at the worldwide exchange of currency, that's legitimately what you're doing. Now, so just to explain what the worldwide currency exchange look like, right? So if you are American, right, you have dollars here. If you decide, hey, I want to go over to Egypt, you know, for our honeymoon, right? Well, let's say you get your passport, you got your visa, everything stamps, you're ready to go. You're getting over there, but you got to have the same currency that they have. They don't use dollars over there. I mean, they will take a U.S. dollar. U.S. dollar is accepted almost anywhere in the world. You know, but at the end of the day, you've got to change your currency, right, to the currency that they're using. Like in India, it's ruby or something like that. In Mexico, it's like peso, you know. All these things, and that fluctuates. You know, 1 minute, 1 second, $1 could equal 5 pesos. You know, 5 minutes later, that same dollar could equal 10 pesos. And people actually trade on the currency exchange and make their living and their money. I don't know what's going on there in the background. But people make their living and their money, you know, based off of the fluctuation of the currency exchange, right? And that's simply what Bitcoin and what these other electronic, you know, currencies are. You know, you're just trading. Now, Bitcoin has seen a huge down from the start of Bitcoin. You have seen mountains and valleys. You know, you have seen Bitcoin jump off, and people are like, "Yo, I'm so glad I got into Bitcoin," right? And then you have also seen Bitcoin take a nosedive, and people who were in Bitcoin is like, "Oh no, why did I spend all that real money on fake money?" Right? And then you also seen Bitcoin come right back up. You know, right now, Bitcoin is on an upturn. I believe it's going to dip back down again eventually, and that's just the market correcting itself. But I think it is important to invest in some of these currencies. Like I said, me personally, I wouldn't indulge or suggest for anyone to go head over heels. Don't put your retirement in there because literally you're going to have a heart attack.
True.
You know, you're going to see that go up and down, up and down. You know, you're going to lose everything and gain it right back, right? So, because, like, if you look in the last 3 years, Bitcoin was struggling. Bitcoin was struggling, right? And now it's just made a huge bounce back. It just made a huge bounce back.
Yeah.
And here in the DMV area, we work with different companies, you know, to find them the top-of-the-line talent. And I have clients who their business model is based off of Bitcoin. Their whole business, I mean, and it shows because, like, a couple of years back when Bitcoin took that nosedive, actually a couple of months back, you know, I don't even want to say years, but, like, Bitcoin took a nosedive. This, I mean, well, it was a year. It was 2019 year. Like, this company lost a lot of funding because they were so heavily invested in Bitcoin. Now they look like geniuses. At one point, people were pulling their investments from this company. People were running head over heels, but the company stuck with it, and now they all look like geniuses. So, you know, that's what I got to, you know, go on a currency exchange on that. I guess as far as, like, conducting business professional, what type of goals do you have there, 5240? And anyone else want to jump on this, 516-531-9540, press 1.
Yeah, you know, my goals, I was just checking out the cryptocurrency because they were talking about mostly for money. You get your money back faster. And that's the reason why I was asking about that. But, you know, just more checking it out a little bit, do more investigation before I just dive in there with a little bit of money to see how it goes because I don't plan on just giving you all my money. I like to see how it goes.
I tell you what, if you're looking for investments, some really cool things to invest in out there right now would be marijuana industries. The producing industry, where they not necessarily the dispensary, but the people actually producing it, and also the gambling licenses that states around the country are now legalizing sports gambling, and also countries are putting in new legislation to legalize gambling over video game consoles. So, like, imagine. A lot of people, especially youngsters, you know, play 2K or they play Madden, right? Well, now you're able to say, hey, I'll bet you $20 I beat you. You're able to actually do that across the country. And that technology is going to be revolutionized. That is really good. It's early stage, so it's good to get started now.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to have to look at stuff like that. But my thing is I'm worried about, I mean, you know, money is always a good topic for the future, especially African-Americans, because with technology now, we're able to do a lot more with our money and funds than we used to. You know, it's like NFL players say. Now, remember in the old days, you know, they would get robbed because, you know, it's like you got a lot of money. You're an NFL or NBA player, offended, no offend, would say, hey, I know somebody that's going to invest your money, dude. And you're like, okay, first my friend knows, he must be good. And then that person end up robbing him, and they go, you know, they go broke. But they say that's what you don't do that nowadays. They say when you invest in, you know, with somebody who have a friend, just give you a call. Nah, they say those days are long gone because there's so much information out there now that you can invest your money and save your money for the long term a lot better than, you know, you picking up a phone call. And yeah, I know Joe Blow. He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, man, he can double and triple your money. And even if it sounds too good to be true, it damn near well is.
Look at Fat Joe. Look what happened to Fat Joe. You know, Fat Joe had a CPA, a certified public accountant. Okay, he's paying his taxes, and this man created a Ponzi scheme and stole Fat Joe's money that he was paying his taxes with, and Fat Joe had to turn around and pay that money again. He had to pay a lot more money and spend time in jail. And he did everything he was supposed to do. You know, that's why one of the things why I thought, you know, the issue was so great was, you know, conducting good business professional. One of the things we got to do, and this is one of the things we got to install, you know, into our youth that is growing, is how to be professional, you know, write things down on paper, you know, and how to read what's on the paper and how to interpret what's on the paper, how to write contracts, how to read contracts, you know, because all these players were getting their money stolen, if they was protecting themselves, if they wasn't relying on someone else to protect them, you know, they'd probably be sitting off a little bit better. One of the things Dave Chappelle said was when he was talking about his contract he signed, he didn't understand what that stuff meant. He didn't understand with all the RAM of the universe, meaning that they can take his product and do what they want with it, you know, and that's why you see Dave Chappelle fought Netflix to take the Chappelle Show off of Netflix until they agreed to pay him his portion that he earned, you know, for that show going on Netflix, he ultimately, you know, that went, you know, in his favor, right?
He got a lot of money from Netflix,
But just imagine though, you know, how many athletes have been like you just brought up. I mean, athletes went broke because they was trusting in somebody else, their friend, or you know, this guy that's going to do this for my money. You know, and you got to realize honor today is gone. Honor is gone.
True.
You know, bad practice is still. Huh?
Yeah, I tell you that when you talk about black-on-black businesses and friends, and I know a lot of times, you know, we got to work together, but I've been, you know, dealing with a young brother years ago. Me and him supposed to have a winning business, and, you know, so... But, you know, I had the money. He had the degree. So I got the money. So I'm putting my money up. I'm doing what I got to do because I know he had the brain to it, but he didn't have the money. I had the money at the time, but I didn't have the brain to make it. So we both supposed to go into him. I handling my part. You handling your part. But it seems to me I'm paying all the bills. I'm taking care of all your fees. I'm taking care of this fees, that fees. Every time we go get dinner or whatever, I got, he ain't never got, and he on, you know, he not really taking care of that, what his part is. You know, he got female coming in and out, you know, his mind on that. So, you know, we broke the camera back. I told him, nah, man, I can't keep spending money in this if you're not doing your part of the business. And, you know, he just wasn't a people person or professional about that. You know, it was about, you know, all these women coming through, and I was like, man, if we're going to do business, man, we're going to do business, we're going to take it. But then he never had no drive, no goals, to get it. And so I'm like, well, why did you go to college and spend all this money and your mind will shut me up? But anyway, you know, that's just one of the stories. You know, sometimes when you go in business with somebody, you got to be on the same grind, you know what I mean, regardless of, you know, what y'all going to. And then if you notice, when a lot of people go in business together, it's getting to be too chaos. That's the reason why I like to do stuff. You know, I'm working on some stuff independent now that I can do myself, you know what I mean, because it's like if me, you, and three, four other people want to go in business, we all might all have the money, but you have to be on the same page. If somebody want to do it this way, somebody want to do it that way, and all we're going to do is argue, and we still, it's not going to make it happen. So, you know, that's, you know what I'm saying? And then who can you trust? I mean, just a lot goes on. I mean, but there are some black businesses, the guys come together, they put their money together, and they do it the right, if everybody got the right mindset. But, you know, I'm working on some things that's real small, and maybe it'll get bigger, but I'm just mom and pop myself. I'm just working on some stuff. I got some stuff I got to order and come in and see what I want to do about small business. It's just stuff that I wish, you know, now that I'm an older, you know, gentleman. But when I wish I was younger, somebody just put me to the side and said, nah, man, save your money. Do this, don't do that. It's like my little cousins and nephews I talked to now. Nah, man, don't do this. Do that with your money. Now they're looking back like, yeah, you're right, man. You know what I'm saying? Some of them making real good money out there. They just don't go blow that money and the hell with all them cars and rims. You'll get that later. Go ahead and invest your money, put your money up, you know, buy property, stuff like that.
100%. I mean, like, I can say this. I know me personally, you know, when I get money in my pocket start itching, you know. It'd be on fire. I'd be jumping up and down, you know. What I'm gonna do with it? And I was thinking back, you know, to when I was growing up. Like I started working, you know, when I was 15 on my first real job. You know, I've always earned money. I've always got an entrepreneur mindset. But I was just thinking, man, if I would have saved that money instead of buying candy, you know, if I would have saved that money instead of you know, getting that steak, you know, buying the newest this and newest that. At the time when I was living in the house with my parents, you know, I could have had a brand new car going off to college. Mm-hmm. I could have had a brand new car, you know. So I think that is important for us to teach and install that into our youth at a very early age. I do agree with you on that 100%. Now, what I'll also say is, you said you was going into business and, you know, dude wasn't about his business. I do believe, you know, running a business is just like coaching. You know, you got to make sure you get the right people, the right positions to do what they can do the best, right? You know, you got to have your workhorse. You got to have your analytical person. You got to have the person who's going to think outside the box. You got to have, you know, different things if you really want to truly be successful, you know, in business. And when I say successful, I'm not saying, you know, being able to make a living. Like you can make, you don't have to be super professional to be able to make a living. But, you know, if you want to be truly successful in my eyes interpretates as being able to open up multiple stores or multiple offices of whatever it is your business is in a manner to expand and grow, you know, because if you're not expanding and you're not growing, somebody's catching up and is going to pass you. And not only are they going to pass you, you know, you don't always want to be the one on the ground floor. I want to be able, you know, to make money and sit back and relax, you know. I want to be like, you know, Bill Gates and him and his wife's divorce, and he already put $2 billion in an account for it. You know, I want to, you know, be able to, you know, conduct my own stuff. You know, I don't want to have somebody telling me what I'm doing on a day in and day out basis. You know, and that's why we got to conduct our business professionally. We got to make sure we are dotting our I's and crossing our T's. We got to make sure that we are not, you know, hanging ourselves to be persecuted in the courtroom because we didn't want to sign a sheet of paper. You know, we don't want to write it down. You know, because I tell you this, you know, I haven't done a lot of business in my lifetime. You know, I'm pretty sure some of you guys have probably done a little bit more than me. But you know, when you write it down, it just makes everything efficient. It even feels efficient. You know, And then two, we got to make plans. We got to make plans. We got to stick to our plans. You know,
yeah,
like,
that's true, because I noticed something. I noticed some stuff that I started years ago and wrote down plans, and then, you know, I procrastinate. You can't procrastinate. You got to go at it, because, you know, some things you'll write down and you'll be like, okay, and then you'll procrastinate, or some things don't go as good and you'll stay the hell with it. But you got to understand, when you start failing, you just got to go over and over again, and sooner or later you'll get better and better at it. And that's what I know from talking to some African entrepreneurs, how they say they fail so many times, and but the man said every time he fell, and you know, it was a laughing stock, and how they laughed at him. He said he went right back to the basement and went right back to work that same night. They laughed at him. Now look at him now, he's making all this money. But he said, nah, his ad didn't turn me. He said, hey, I had my product out, and it was a laughing stock, but I went down to the basement. And when I got back in all that cold snow, I went into my basement and went in the house. Went in the basement and went to work. That's all night long. He said, years later, now I'm making millions.
So that's,
you just got to say it, what you're doing. Yeah,
I just want to take a quick second and bring in the one and only Meeshawn Williams. Hey, Meeshawn, how are you doing today?
Hey. How are you all doing?
Well, we... We was missing you, you know. It wasn't the same without you.
I'm sure it wasn't. But I'm here now, and, you know, so far I am enjoying the conversation. And, you know, I'm always learning something. What I want to know to ask the person that you are speaking to right now is, you know, how do you establish appropriate boundaries and keep it professional at work? I mean, because there are some behaviors that happen in the workplace that I feel does not work appropriate.
Right. So you asking me that?
You can answer that and Colin. All right.
Both
of you answer.
Okay.
What I would say to that is this, all right? First of all, when it comes to work, I'm there to get my money, all right? Like, I ain't there to have no friends. I'm not there to, you know, hee-hee, ha-ha. I'm there to get my money and get out the way, right? Once you have that mindset, you'll dodge a lot of the drama, right? Now, as far as about, you know, what's appropriate, obviously you don't want to be like, you know, stale, dull person. You got to play the politics game at work, you know, to be able to advance your career, right? I think, you know, with this hypersensitive time that we're living in, one of the things we got to make sure we always are careful of, especially us males, especially us black males, is, you know, sexual harassment. You know, I don't even compliment women anymore. I work remotely, but like when I go into the office, I won't even say, hey, I like your shoes or a nice outfit or I like your new hairstyle. I won't even say any of those things anymore. You know, simply because, you know, no, a person can take that any kind of way nowadays, right? If a person is doing something that is bothering you, that is affecting you, and you feel like it's inappropriate, you should, you know, express how it makes you feel. Communication is always key. You know, having the right type of communication to be able to express how you're truly feeling does matter, because someone might not know that something is inappropriate to you. You know, someone might not know that you feel a certain way. But in best practices, I will always say, you know, go in, make your list of what needs to be done, complete your list, get out the way.
Okay, can I talk now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my thing is, like, my sister took me a long time when I noticed for a fight that keeps stuff professional. And, you know, he always told me that he used to own apartments in Philadelphia, and he told me a long time ago, that's when I used to be up there summertime in Darby, Pennsylvania area. He was like, you know, the apartments that he stayed, that he owned it. And, you know, he told me a long time ago, dealing with a female, he said, always be professional, because he had problems with two females that he had sex with, and then they wanted to stop paying rent, they wanted to stop doing that, and that's something he said that aggravated him, because that's something he had to learn years ago. Anytime you're in a professional organization, professional business, he said, always stay professional, because whether you're a man or woman, you can lose respect. Like, I know a female mm-hmm. who was a professional, owned a little business. Okay, when my partner from the hood, she stopped liking, he went professional ghetto. She stopped missing him, and next thing you know, I wouldn't say the business went down, which it did went down later on, but he started acting up, disrespect her in front of customers, and she was professional, and calling her all type of names and stuff like that. So my thing is, I tell anybody, and let's both of y'all real serious about it, you know what I mean? Just, I wouldn't bother with it. I like to keep it professional, and let's both of us, you know, professional and know how to act. Some people just don't know how to act, but I would just say stay professional with it, and that's something that stuck with me. You know, it's just like me, you know, when I was at my own apartment, I ain't never liked to deal with no females in the apartment complex, because I know I wasn't going to be faithful to them, and if I got company coming through, I don't need no bullshit. I just need to just, that's why I ain't bother nobody. And the one time I did, the last weekend, he made on the fuck go over, but I was gone. So it wasn't like I was coming in no more. I said, okay, I'm gone now. So let me go and catch him. What I've been wanting to do, like, we can always come back and bite you. People can turn on and how professional.
Hey, am I the only one hearing him breaking in and out?
Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, I can hear you now. Real good.
I just say keep stuff professional. Like my uncle told me a long time ago, don't miss pleasure with business, because it's gonna always, you know, always mess you up, and it mess him up. And when he started having sex with the female people that was renting out his apartments, he said it always caused problems and a lot of drama. So he said he just like to keep stuff professional, and you know, it saves a lot of problems in the long run. You know, so that's something I had that, well, I didn't really have to learn. I just learned from him. And like I said, when I had my apartment, I didn't like to hit the females in the little apartment complex, because it just always bring trouble, because I knew I wasn't going to be faithful. I knew I was going to have company coming in and out, and I was known for that, having too much company coming in and out. And females told me, I was going to date you, but you got too much coming. Yeah, I got too much coming in and out, because I ain't ready to settle mm-hmm. down yet, and I ain't ready to do good yet. So that's the reason why I ain't messing no females in the apartment complex, unless I was getting ready. Like I said, my lease was up, and I was on my last week. I know I was moving. I had my other apartment, and I hit one or two like that. Ready as I get ready to go. So it ain't got to be no drama. I ain't really there no more. So I don't mind, you know what I mean, doing that and going on to the next. That's just my profession. I mean, that's just the way, you know, I think.
Well, I agree. Before
we keep it moving, I do want to, you know, get 4932. We got to get you live here on the air, 4932.
I missed the last question. But what exactly was that question? Because I think I agree with the caller as far as keeping things professional, especially whenever you have your own business and or you live next to someone or something like that. What was the question again?
That was about establishing appropriate boundaries in the workplace.
Oh, establishing. Oh, yeah, in the workplace. Oh, yeah, big time.
Or whatever. Your business, or, you know, keeping things professional.
Definitely, especially whenever you have your own business, because there you control the situation. I've been in a situation where I didn't have control of the situation, which was I worked in this plant, and probably about 60% of the people in there was females, and probably of that 60%, probably 90% or, yeah, I'd say about 90% was white females. And if you look at them and they have a bad day, they ready to get you in trouble. I almost got fired for some old messing around stuff, and that person had done way more to me than I had done to them. But I wasn't fighting like that. I was just up there like, all right, look, I apologize. You know, let me get my job back. But it's very, what he said was very profound about keeping your distance, as far as, you know, keeping it professional at all times, because it can get you in trouble. And just like he said, people will start disrespecting you and everything, even your workers as well. And once you start losing that, then you losing your business.
Yeah, 100%.
Keep it professional, which you should do. How can a person, if you're not being professional, have respect for you as an authority figure? When people are not being professional.
You're asking me?
People having affairs in a workplace, and they, like, employees know what's going on, where they are.
Yeah, I even had a person I was dating out there at this plant that almost got me in trouble. So, yeah. What's that old saying? Don't get your whatever where you get your bread. There's a lot of background noise going on here. Hello?
Don't get your head where you get your bread. I understand that.
Yeah. There it is. That's it. I almost went to jail for that.
I said a lot of background noise tonight.
Yeah.
No, I hear it. I'll see if we can work on some of that. But no, I mean, 100%, you know, don't get your bread where you get your head, 100%. You know, unless it's your wife. So, or your husband, you know? In general, you know, like sex, you know, becomes the huge shadow that overshadows a lot of things. And I think, you know, even more than that, though, like I said, you know, documentation. You know, if, like, let's say you have your own business or you're working for someone, documenting everything. When someone tells you to do something and you're documenting and you're doing it and they ask why you did this, you got proof. Or something is bothering you, or if you got issues at work or something like that, instead of just talking to your manager about it, send them an email. So that way you have digital proof, you know, and you can come back, you know, later and say, no, this is documented. This is when I first, you know, communicated with you about my wants and needs and desires, you know, and showing that pattern. Because, like I said, at the end of the day, you know, when you get inside a courtroom, if you don't have no documentation and it's just he say versus she say, and you black, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I had learned that from this old lady at work that, you know, she used to write down every little move. If they asked her to do something simple as, could you pick up that trash at this particular time, blah, 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 told me in this particular place to pick up trash and put it in this particular trash can. And I was like, why are you doing that? She said, hey, they'll never get me on nothing. And this is an old lady, you know, and I'm like, man, that is the smartest shit ever. and it'd be even people that you trust, because there's like people will come in my business you know, they are proclaim that, you know, well, this and this happened in your shop or whatever, and without pictures and documentation on that, I cannot prove it. I have to take care of whatever this, the thing is. And that's caught up with me before. So, yeah, that's that. You're right about that. Documentation and you know, documentation is huge.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. 100%. I mean, like, it's so big because, like, my whole thing is the first thing they're going to ask is when and where. You know?
Yeah.
You can't remember it every day. I don't care.
Exactly.
You know, like, what you're talking about, you can't remember every day. You know?
I don't care how dramatic it is for you. If you ain't got it written down, they going to still be like, well, you probably got it mixed up with this and this and this and that. But if you got it written down on that particular day, they can't mess with you. You got it.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. Especially when you come back with a whole catalog. Yeah, I got this on you here. I got this on you there. You know, you dot your eyes and cross your T's. Dot your eyes and cross your T's.
Okay, Paula, I have a question about in the workplace. If you said at the factory or wherever you worked, now, were there ever any, like, dirty jokes told? Or sexual innuendo or anything like that?
Yeah. All the time. All the time.
And how was it handled?
People girls grabbing your stuff, all kinds of crazy stuff. it was a free-for-all.
And how did management handle that? They didn't do anything at all? They just let it happen? What?
Well, it was it didn't really get to where, you know, people got reprimanded or anything until, like, you know, later in the years that I've worked. And it was so bad, man. You'd be scared to talk to anybody outside of your circle. So at that point, I wasn't even close to no daggum body. You know, I wouldn't, you know, after that little thing where I called this girl a little name that, and we go back and forth and all that stuff. All of a sudden, they decided that one, you know, they would get all upset or whatever. And you know, she told them don't do nothing or whatever. But ever since then, I stopped playing with people out there. I was like, nah, it wasn't worth losing my job for that.
Hey, well, I want to say this right here. A lot of times, I just want to say this right quick. A lot of times in the workplace, with women, it can be real funny because I know two females that was doing everything to a lot of the men. But if they like you, you can get a pass on it. And I've seen a guy did that. A couple other guys, a couple other Pookies and Ray Rays, thug guys, they was coming. They was from the temporary service, and she liked them. They was touching all on the ass and do all that there. She ain't seen nothing. One particular every guy. He did it. She got mad and went to HR, and she scolded him for that and all that. But he was like, and you know what I'm saying, so they recommend him and put him in the streets for a whole week and all that. He was scared he about to lose his job. And I was like, man, that's just certain females. Well, he said, well, she ain't nothing but an HO. But I said, nah, man, but still, certain females that certain guys do stuff that other people do. You got to know where you fit in just because they did it from the temporary service. The little bad boys did the temporary service. She didn't let you do it because she didn't see you like that.
That's right.
I said, so you can't joke with her like that. Like she said, he's trying to joke with her like they joke with her. And she didn't even see him like that. I said, man, you got to know where you fit in with women. Some women let certain men do certain stuff that they don't let nobody do. You got to learn how you fit in with certain women. You know what I mean? Certain
women
don't like you. They ain't finna fuck with you. Certain women, you be like, you know what I mean? I just seen. Yeah, go ahead.
And just because they touch you or whatever, that don't mean touch them. Because, man, it's a whole different story. Yeah. And I was like, nah. I ain't playing with you like that. You don't play with me that way. Hey, I kept my distance, especially in the situation where I was in, where, like I said, at least 90% of the workers that was there, of the females that was there, was white, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm up there like, I don't even like y'all like that.
Yeah. And remember, I can remember, That's the guy Too Smooth from the sports. Remember that he got fired for messing with the white girl. I remember it was the quarterback Donna McDay. I remember all of them got fired.
Yeah.
For messing with the one white girl. All them, all three of them, the running back, all three of them got fired. I know y'all know, but I can't think of everybody's name, but all they got fired for messing around with the same white woman on the job. And guess what? She told all they texts in, and they got fired. Dumbest. And all of them, most of them was married.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking about, too.
Yeah,
that
was Donna McNabb,
right,
it was
before.
Three stooges, and it was the running back.
Yeah.
All three of them with the same white woman. She didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
She just collected all them texts. And then when they fired her, remember they let her go right after that, she turned all in the texts and all them got fired. Damn.
Yep. That's how it goes, too. Better than that. Sometimes they don't get touched.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I remember situations when you talk about we get into all of that, even outside of the workplace. Like, as a man, we gotta, you know, conduct ourselves differently. As a woman can be very flirtatious, very spontaneous, at work, and even be, you know, go over the edge a little bit more. But the reality is, she's
a
woman, so she gotta be dealt with different. I remember at my past job, I just switched. Employment, but in my past job, I remember I had got into it with one of our managers, and I got the guy that's in charge of the region of Francis Tyler. Like, look, I'm about to deal with this man. Like, she's not gonna talk to me like no child. You know, I'm professional. Mm-hmm. She needs to be professional. You know, otherwise I can start calling people bitches and hoes. You know, I can break my professional courtesy. You know,
some white women make you do that. Some white women will make you do that.
Well, the thing is like you're inside of Justin Jackson that you wasn't used to. Everybody used to the nice, happy-go-lucky Justin Jackson.
Yeah.
As soon as Justin Jackson says, all right, you know what? Enough is enough. You know, I'm about to put it right back out there. That's when everybody's like, whoa, wait. I'm like, no. You know, and even in the workplace, and this is crazy because everybody talk about how they're trying to do away with biases and we need more diversity and this, that, and the other, you know. My boss is in there, he's like, Justin, she's a woman. I mean, even though we can't say this, you know, we got to, you know what it is. You know, we got to deal with it differently. And I just think that's crazy.
Let me tell you this.
Yeah.
It even happened to me with a man out there. It was one of my bosses. He went to school with my one of my brothers, right? And, you know, he let them white boys get away with anything. I went to the bathroom, you know, stopped real quick. There was no production going on. And he was just on my tail the whole time, and I just went off on him. Man, I got fired. Hey, unlike the police murderers, I got suspended without pay. Matter of fact, pending, you know, I was fired without pay, pending investigation. You know, I ended up getting my job back the next week, but still, I missed out on a whole week worth of pay with a lot of overtime that week. And the whole thing is that whole time that I spent out there, I was always fighting for my job. It wasn't nobody else fighting for their job like I had to. When I left, there was only about five black males out there, including in the company. In the company part of the, because I was a union worker, in the company part, they have zero black males. And now they probably don't have any black females in the company end of that job either. As well as, every time somebody black would leave or fired or die or whatever, they didn't get replaced by another black person. So I'd be surprised if there's 5% black people there. And it used to be a lot more than that.
Mm-hmm. We as black people, we got to know we're under attack, you know, and that's why I thought, you know, this was you know, a very appropriate topic about, you know, being able to, you know, conduct this professionally, being able to, you know, watch our own backs and get it done, you know, the right way, you know. And I mean, to me, I just try to preach the message. My goal was to see my people doing as best as I possibly can and to lead us to be great. You know, we are great people. You know, we were chosen ones. You know, and it's just like, you know, we gotta be the change that we want to see. I love the verse from J. Cole. You know, and the main reason for that, because like I always hear it all the time, especially from white people, you know, about black people all the time. They always come to me and ask me, you know, well, what about blacks when they do this? Well, what about blacks when they do that? And I'm just like, all right, what about Hitler? Like, whoa, 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 whoa. Right. You want me to answer for all the black people?
That's right.
I want you to answer for all the white people. You know, what about Dylan's fucking roof? What the fuck is wrong with you, dude? How the fuck do you let Dylan's roof go on a rampage in a church? You're a man of God. You're a woman of Christ. You know?
Right.
And then when you start pushing that energy back on them, they get very offended. They're like, whoa, 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 that wasn't me. I'm like, well, why are you seeing
you're a bad black person.
You know, why do you keep asking me about Chicago then? You know? Why you keep asking me about New York? You know,
you should say, what about Southern Illinois?
You know, like you keep it 100 one time, you know? And a lot of that comes from me because, like, I choose my words very carefully. But at the same time, people know I document you. I teach you an email, all right, we just got through talking about it. I type up the whole meeting that we discussed and send it to you in an email. So that way you can't say we didn't talk about it and you didn't get it. And then we got to bring this back up. We'll bring it back up. You know? Like, you got to be able to beat them at their own game until you can, you know, get your own stuff. And then even once you get your own stuff, you better be well-versed in this game because somebody's going to be trying to get you. You know? As always. You know? Like, one thing
with that.
Yeah.
Black people have to be twice as good. Wherever you at, you have to be way better than they are.
Hell yeah.
For you to even be considered, for you to even have your position.
100%. I mean, I dealt with that with just the job I just came from. You know, like, I was the best there, outbilled everybody, billing 2-3 times a month, hit all the numbers, got boss said, you do this, I'll promote you. And guess what? I did get promoted. You know, and it's like, soon as the white girl was available for a promotion, they promoted her immediately. Even though everything was handed to her the whole time she was there, everything was handed to her. I went and got all of mine out the mud and put up better stats. And I'm sitting here like, yo, something's not right here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Justin, what we need to do, we need to see, you know, reason why we didn't do it is we want your story to be so great. Fuck that story. Give me the money.
Exactly.
I don't care about the story. I don't care what you're talking about. Yeah, it sounds like an excuse to me. That sounds like an excuse to me. You know? Like that's how I had to get going about it. Like, you know, all right, y'all don't want to give me what I'm going to get? Cool, I'll go somewhere else and get it. Yeah. You know?
And get it.
I got promoted and I get my raise one way or another. You know?
Hey, so, every place I've been, I had to be the best. Every position I had to be the best. You know, and the thing about it is they sit up there and say you ain't competing. I'll be damned if you ain't competing. You competing 20 times over, especially being a black male in anybody's system. You have to compete. You are forced to compete.
You remember, I know you guys remember the movie, Remember the Titans.
Yeah.
I know you all seen that movie, you know.
Love that movie.
You heard what they told the coach. You lose one game.
But he got a...
You lose one game.
Right, exactly.
One
then
game.
You're out of there.
You're gone. One game. All it takes is one.
One.
You know, so that means you got to come in to a team you ain't never been around before and win a state championship right off the bat.
Under the guise of white supremacy.
Right off the bat.
You know?
And they still couldn't do it. They had to pay the ref. They paid the ref to try to throw the game so he could get fired. And the other coach came in and was like, you know, this is some bull crap. You know?
Right. Just think of who hadn't stepped in.
Right.
Hey, so what movie was this?
Oh, yeah, he didn't get no Oscar for that one because he was way better there than he was in that joke-off movie,
Trading Day.
I hated that stupid-ass movie. I was like, this is a dumb movie. Embarrassing.
My question is, why did that movie even win an Oscar?
You already know.
No.
Yeah.
You know what? But you know what I'm saying? That is true. You know that all these black coaches that get like the Florida State job, the Texas job, they only get 2 years at most. The black guy Florida State got a year and a half and he was gone and they had to pay him all the 20-something million. But at Texas, the white coach had a worse record, but he got to stay 4 years, but the black guy only got at least about 2 years and Texas ran him out of there.
I got
well,
one
look
for you.
At, look at Lovie Smith took Chicago Bears all the way to the Super Bowl. They didn't win, but he took them to the Super Bowl, and then they got rid of them within the next 2 years. And he had a winning record.
I got one for you. I got one for y'all. I got one for y'all. Shoot, I had it, and then I just forgot it. I can't believe that just even happened right there. When we were talking about, like coaches, yeah, I got it now. When we were talking about, like, coaches and stuff, right now there's a big wave of ex-NFL players who want to coach, black people, right? You know, Dave George just took a head coaching job at a historical black college.
Tennessee.
What's the other guy named? Deion Sanders just took a coaching job at HBCU. You know, and I was watching CNN, you know, when this stuff was going on, and one of the things they talked about was, you know, these guys want to coach. And like my thing is, what's so shocking to me is, well, of course they want to coach. Why is that surprising? My question is, and they said, well, you know, they got to start off at the bottom. My question is, Pat Riley. You know, he played at the University of Kentucky, and then he went and played, you know, professional basketball, and then he coached professionally, head coach.
Yep.
Why does a black man, and I'm not saying HBCU got to be at the bottom, because personally, I think all of the top recruits should go to the HBCUs to put more money into the black community and into black institutions. But
they blackball those colleges.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But guess what? Now you got people like...
Even though none of them is really ran by any black people. None of them is really ran by any black people.
But now you got people like, you know, Master P, whose son just committed to HBCU. You got people like Shaquille O'Neal, whose son just committed to HBCU. You got, you know, like, so in my vision, even though it's as bad as it is, I see progress. It might not be as big as I want it to be. It might not be as strong or as drastic as I want it to be. But I'm seeing slightly shivered of progress. And as we as black people, we got to keep that mantle going. We got to keep it going. You know, I think, you know, segregation would have done us better. You know, and I ain't ashamed of it. You know,
right?
And
right.
I'm gonna keep it one. I'll keep it 1,000. You know. I enjoyed tonight's conversation. The clock is about to run out on us. Do we have any, you know, final statements or anything they want to be going out there? Deshaun, you got anything you want to put out there, or any other callers? Last opportunity.
All right. Thank you for listening. And it was very interesting.
Okay, we appreciate it.
All right. I know.